Hello and welcome to The Cynic Weekly. It's the 1st of June 2023 and there's a lot to talk about as we look towards the Scottish Cup final that hopefully, if Celtic win on the day, will clinch a treble and we can talk about that. We can talk about what we're looking forward to, team selection and such as big momentous day. All of us maybe should try not to take our eye off that, include ourselves and include everyone online and in the pub and the manager.
The only thing that's missing so far is you saying, we regret to announce.
Like, we regret to announce. No, we regret to announce that Alan Edgar's unfortunately not here. He'll be on the Lunch Club tomorrow. We'll be doing a preview, looking at. We've got a preview of the. What are you laughing at?
I just said Alan's on the Spurs Weekly.
Spurs, he's on the Spurs Weekly. The voices you can hear. Christopher Samani's here. Hello, Christopher. How are you, friend?
I'm all right, Christopher. Thanks for having me.
Thursday.
Yes, we're recording outside of the studio today. We are recording in our front room, which is a lot cooler and a lot nicer. It's a nice kind of setup because it's hot. Barry Gallagher's also here. Hello, Barry, how are you?
Very well, thanks. Looking forward to, as you say, a momentous day on Saturday. And I think, as we come on to, our main focus is Celtic. We're the Celtic men here.
We are. That's...
They've not even mentioned his name. We're getting all defensive, man.
I know. I can't wait to retcon his entire time here. he's a Celtic manager currently, and it's been an interesting couple of days. We kind of touched on this last week when we were talking about our last week, but I think specifically the week before when it was just you and myself, Sir Manny, where we talked about Ange Postecoglou, and we talked about there was interest. I mean, that's been ratcheted up over the last couple of days. Everybody is very well aware of what's been happening with kind of Tottenham. I mean, every hour this today, it kind of seems like it has been some news outlet saying that it's closer, it's coming to kind of going to come to fruition. I'll get your point of view first on how this week's been for you in regards to Ange Postecoglou. Kiss, we'll start with you. Like, how's this week been with the idea that Ange Postecoglou potentially might leave Celtic?
I haven't ate, Chris. I haven't slept, Chris. I don't really know what else to say.
You're in the right place. Okay. You're in the right place.
Okay. All joking aside, I mean, obviously I would like him to stay, but I think previous experiences with previous managers has maybe prepared me to get to the point where I'm thinking, what will happen will happen. Because it was what he said himself, Ange, that sticks in my head. He's not interested in players that don't want to play for the club. I totally agreed with that. And that applies to the manager as well. So, you know, if you're looking at it coldly, taking the fact that we're obviously all big Celtic fans on a Celtic podcast.
I fucking hope so.
If you're looking at it coldly and taking that emotion and support of the club out, a club the size of Spurs, regardless of the state they're in, and, you know, people slag Spurs because of no one in, mostly because of their size, because they don't slag Bournemouth, you know what I mean, for not winning anything. But they're still a massive club in the best, or one of the best leagues, certainly the richest league in the world.
That's the key point.
He's a guy who has only just managed in Europe. I know he had a wee spell in Greece, but he's came over here and that's landed on his lap. If you're looking at it coldly, you can understand why he would want to go for that. You could understand that. But we aren't looking at it coldly, we're looking at it as Celtic fans, and I'm just...
Normally you say Celtic, but you've both said Celtic, and
the scheme comes out in you when you're talking about
the defenders. Barry Gallagher, how the hell are you?
Much the same. I think I take on board what Samani is saying about looking at it coldly, but for people like us, it's incomprehensible for us to understand when we look at it emotionally why you would ever want to leave our club. And I think probably all fans are that, but I think we are a special club. I was watching a thing before I came out when Jota was saying that Celtic are one of the best clubs in the world for the raw emotion and the passion that surrounds the club, whether it be the fans or just the general day-to-day running of the club. So it is difficult, but the point that I pick up on what Shamani said, recent experiences has kind of prepared us for, I say prepared because when it is announced, I know it will still be like a dagger. We're trying our best to prepare ourselves for it, but the club goes on, and as I alluded to at the start, we are the one constant. Celtic's the one constant. If you think of people who have left in the past, we've managed to go over that and build again, become stronger. So I think we need to look at it sort of philosophically, that we will go on. Obviously, we've loved having him. We'd love for him to stay, and that, I suppose that's still one of the options.
One of the options.
About 7%.
Well, see, to be honest, I was thinking about that earlier on. You know how football works, and obviously Spurs definitely went for your man for Feyenoord. It's been talk of Nagelsmann as well.
Yeah.
Enrique. A lot of this could be a ploy to smoke out another target, right? So it looks more increasingly likely with the speculation that he is going, but stranger things have happened. So I suppose you do need to approach some of the conversations that we're having just now on the assumption that he might not be going, whereas thus far we've really not countenanced that.
Yeah, what Barry said, I think when he's talking about Celtic, the fans being the constant, there's a really funny Jerry Seinfeld, you know, remember Seinfeld, the TV show? At the very beginning, they used to always do stand-up.
That was pretty famous, Chris, it was pretty famous.
I said that because I didn't know what your stance was on it.
Anyway, even Alan knows that one.
But there's a bit at the beginning when he talks about being a baseball fan and being like, I saw an ex-player coming back the season after, you know, he'd been playing for like whoever it was, and I saw the fans booing him, and I was like, you know, he was your player like not that long ago. And then I thought about, like, you know, managers, the same things happen with managers. And then he just goes, basically he breaks everything down. He's like, the only constant is actually the shirts, so like you're essentially just cheating the shirts, sort of thing. And it's pretty funny. I've butchered it, there's no question about it. But in regard to like Rogers, in regards to
Freudian slip.
In regards to...
Is his name going to come up again, then?
I think it probably will. In regard to Ange, though, Ange Postecoglou, you know, it's funny because when you go on, like, you go on Twitter and stuff, and, you know, you go on social media, there are a certain lot of people, and I can, you know, I can completely understand their point of view, where it's like, why are people speculating? Nothing's changed. Nothing's happened. This is all paper talk. Nothing has been, you know, made official. So just focus on Saturday. Ignore all the speculation because nothing's going to happen. And I look at that, and part of me goes, yeah, do you know what? That's fair enough. But then part of me also goes, but that's not the real world. You know, like, we are a Celtic podcast, and this is on everybody's mind. This is what everyone... No one's thinking about... No, everyone is thinking about the cup final, but your thoughts of the cup final are a little bit clouded, Barry, because of this.
Definitely. If this hadn't come out, your preparation for Saturday would have been entirely different.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's, like, been unfair to say, because... You can't help thinking about it. You look at the press conferences today, or the press interviews where the players are asked with it. The players are asked about it. The manager's obviously asked about it. It's the front page, back page of all the newspapers. So it's hard to sort of block out that noise for us. I'm just hoping that the players and the staff are able to ahead of Saturday. Because if things weren't to go our way on the pitch, Jesus, the feeling of a just... Even worse. So, no, it's difficult because, and it's, I was saying just before we came on air, it's annoyed me in a way, and it's probably through no one's fault really, but we would never have chosen this build up, and the focus should be going for a world record 8th treble, and it's not the topic on everyone's lips because of the outside noise. So I think if we do try to sort of put it in isolation, enjoy Saturday, live sort of in the present for Saturday, and then what comes after that, hopefully when we've got the 3 trophies in the trophy cabinet, then we start to deal with it. Having said that, that's easier said than done, I think.
Yeah, we get lots of questions we'll kind of get through, but just on that kind of point, Chris, it has been a, you know, we try to have this idea that the players and the manager are, you know, they're athletes, and almost you put them in this kind of this bracket that they're like robots, they're so conditioned to the game and all that. But, you know, ultimately, kind of will affect them. And it may not affect them to the point where, you know, if Celtic are focused, they should win on Saturday. It's a cup final, so you can't rule anything out, of course. And I wouldn't rule anything out because it's disrespectful. But ultimately, you got to imagine some of those players will be thinking, oh, you know, managers going? What's kind of managers potentially going? You know, what's my future? What's happening? So there will be a little bit of that probably, right?
Yeah, it'd be natural. It would be, you would have to think that it won't have an effect on them. However, they are professionals. And the idea of losing that game would reflect hugely on them in terms of what then happens with the support. I think some people would then point to the fact that the manager, the speculation around the manager was a cause for that. But at the same time, I don't think it'll affect them to the point where it should affect their performance. And if it does, there is absolutely no excuse for it. So
yeah,
it's one of those things where the idea that all the players are just solely focused in a bubble and in a vacuum right now in terms of, you know, Saturday, they're obviously going to react to the speculation, but they're also going to be thinking about what it feels like that first day when they're on the beach, on their holidays. And I imagine professionally it would sting if they didn't win this Scottish Cup final. So that'll all be in the mix too. So yes, it would be daft to say that it won't have an impact in their mindset, but I don't think it would be to an extent that it should affect their performance too much.
You know, the thing we always kind of levelled at Rodgers was not the fact that he left, it's how he left and when he left. Yeah. And that's something, and his name probably will pop up again at the end, some point in this pod, but, you know, it was when he left. Ange Postecoglou, if he does leave, will leave after, you know, world record eighth treble, triple crown. And, you know, leaving at the end of a season, I guess in a lot of ways you look at it and, you know, you think, oh, there's never a good time for the manager to leave, but this is probably as good a time as we can get, because what it does, I think, is if he does go, that it the Champions League, guaranteed Champions League entry to group the group stage, that's a hook. That is a hook. You can sell maybe to a manager who maybe would have looked at Celtic and thought, oh, I don't know, maybe the level of the league is maybe not the best. But if you win this next season, you're guaranteed to get into the first new Champions League kind of setup as well. So potentially two champ. Barry, it's, you know, it's timing is everything, but there's never a good time for the manager to go.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And going back to the phrase that Samari used about looking at it coldly, I think that for a new manager, potentially, that they're coming in, it's a free summer, basically, because there's no qualifiers. You've got the lucrative tours of Japan and Korea.
What happens if he takes all the players?
I know.
With Japan, we know Japanese players.
Asian player left. So it is an attractive proposition, and it's a million miles away from the job that Ange took himself 2 summers ago. Mm. But as you say, it felt like we were just getting started. I think we all kind
We're all talking like he's away, by the way.
Yeah,
which hasn't been confirmed, but
yeah.
Come on.
I just when we were saying that, I think back to the amount of pods where we name-checked Eddie Howe as if it was a done deal.
Yeah,
and never happened.
Well, that's it.
But yeah, I think that the club set
Eddie
up well for someone to come in with perfect conditions, but then it kind of feels like the rug being pulled away from us because we were building something stronger with this manager, with this group of players.
See, in terms of you talking about timing to go, see if this happened in a week's time, I think people would be less intense about it. I think people are quite rightly annoyed that it's taken away the shine from Saturday.
So yeah, that's fair.
I suppose, to be clear, this isn't a Brendan Rodgers situation.
No.
It's
not so
close to a Brendan Rodgers situation. You can have conversations about what Ange owes us or what he doesn't owe us, you know, in terms of that. But, you know, he isn't running out on it, right? Running out on us right at a crucial juncture of the season. So it's not even close in my mind to what happened previously. But, and this is probably out of his control, the timing just before the cup final is.
He probably wouldn't want it either. Like, he probably wouldn't want that speculation before the cup final.
Yeah, probably not.
But also, what I would say is, like, I mean this,
I don't know. I'm starting to think differently about the manager.
Oh. I just think that, you know, do you know what? We'll go to some questions, right?
Good to the amount, Ange.
Because Chris Amani, what's do you prefer savoury or sweet food? No, that was the midweek bounce yesterday. Ewan,
I listened to the midweek bounce, by the way. It was very good.
Thank you very much, Chris.
No, nothing to do with you, it's Bowden, Brian.
I completely agree. I'm not taking that. I those. We do a if you're listening, we do a podcast called The Midweek Bounce with Brian McManus and Chris Bowd, and they are the masters. I am but directing traffic. So great stuff. It's available if you sign up at thecynic.co. Okay, Ewan sent in this message. The cynic, funnily enough, the cynic in me is obviously worried about the future without Ange. The seismic changes in world football have realistically left us down the pecking order for managers as much as players, even if it pains me to say. Other than Katie to Arsenal, if Ange goes to Spurs, it is arguably the biggest direct move a player manager will have made from Celtic in the last 15 years. On a positive note, if Ange goes, would this make Celtic a more attractive proposition for a manager, as the stepping stone to the Premier League model has done for players? It's an interesting question, Ewan. Barry, your thoughts?
Yeah, I totally agree with the point that as a direct move, it probably is the biggest out with Katie. But yeah, as we touched upon earlier, I think it does make us an attractive proposition. We've probably got as much money in the club as we've potentially ever had.
Yep.
Probably we're rival to after Rodgers' first season.
I think we'll break that.
Yeah, I think so too. Because it's guaranteed money. We're not having to fight to get into the group stages for it. We've got a settled squad as we speak, whether that will change or not. So I think it is an attractive proposition. It's just the kind of thought of dread, isn't it, that we've become accustomed to this style of football. The players that we have fit this system. We could potentially hire a manager who tears it all up and starts from scratch.
Surely they can't do that, though, eh? I mean, I know.
What if there's an outstanding candidate who's out there and has a different style of football?
Well, if it's an outstanding candidate.
Yeah. So, yeah, you have to really... My one hope is that we cast the net far and wide. I hope it isn't someone who is in that drawer of CVs that we had before, after Rodgers left. And I hope we give ourselves the best possible chance. And I've always thought this. I hope that we invite applications, because it might throw up people that you never thought you had a chance of getting, especially now with the conditions at the club. So I wouldn't be in a... Obviously, we want a manager in as quickly as possible, but I would take my time to see if there's a caliber of candidate out there who would maybe apply for it that we didn't think of before. So
it's a huge job. Yeah. It's a huge job, and thanks to Ange Postecoglou, it's in a really good position. Thanks to the players that we've brought in, we are settled and stuff, and there is a sort of level of professionalism that has been bought. It raised the standard and stuff, so we are like perfect. Chris, what's your thought on Ewan's point?
I suppose it raises questions. I would agree with Barry and with Ewan that apart from KT, it's the biggest direct move of any player or manager for the last 15 years, whatever was said. I suppose in terms of us being viewed as an attractive prospect for managers, yes, but then that leads into the questions about how we've conducted managerial searches before.
Yeah.
And it opens up, not that I want it to, but it's going to, it opens up that age-old question that we've discussed on this pod for years about the structure at the club. Now, obviously, like some Mark Lawless come in and your man Nicholson, and there's been other appointments in there that suggests there's been a possibility of a different kind of mindset and structure put into the club, right? It's not been publicly announced, so we don't know that. So you've still got that concern. There might have been changes, but there might not have been changes, and we might do what we've done previously in terms of then looking for a manager. And then we're not really worrying about us being a good stepping stone. We're worrying about what calibre of candidate we're going to get. There's some of the folk, the custodians of the club, as we like to call them, they're still there. What are they going to do? We need a good Celtic man this time and things like that. I don't know. We're guessing. The unknown about what comes next is the problem.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, would we be an attractive prospect for a manager, maybe not in completely similar circumstances to Ange, but, you know, a kind of what's the outside pick coming in here and thinking we can move on? Yeah, we would be. But that's entirely based on how we're going to conduct our managerial search, and there's questions over how that'll be done.
Just in regards to if the great Ange Postecoglou, if he stays, if Ange does stay, right, these conversations that we're having right now and these questions are exactly the questions we would have at the end of next season if he leaves then. These are probably prominent questions anyway, whether he stays or whether he goes. And, you know, that's kind of... they're going to have to be answered anyway at some point.
And it's, I suppose part of it is a price of success, because can you imagine you were given a time machine and you went back to when the Eddie Howe deal fell apart and we announced Ange Postecoglou and somebody said, by the way, at the end of the second season, Spurs are going to come in and take him? You'd have been like that. Aye, right. And then if you believed it, you'd went, geez, he must have been brilliant.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what my point was there, but anyway.
No, but I think what's funny is a lot of Celtic fans like being completely outraged about how some of the Spurs fans are talking about him. And a lot, just, you know, history repeating itself in a lot of ways. Although, having said that, they're worse. Absolutely worse. Scum. Subhuman scum. Stuart emailed in and said, would any part of you be fearful of the future with regards to boardroom decisions on replacements, playing style and players, if Ange decides to get the train to London from Central on Monday? And would you take Rodgers back? Okay, this is the first Rodgers comment.
Train.
Would you take
the train?
Would you take Rodgers back with Lennon as his assistant? Stuart, piss off with that one, I'll be honest with you. But what, you know, in regard to, I put a tweet out basically, it was like, you know, essentially, everyone talks about, you know, last year or so, people have been like bigging up the board and bigging up Michael Nicholson and, you know, all this stuff. And that's all fine and good. Now's the time for them to stand up and be counted, because I don't want to be proved right 100%. I want to be proved wrong again. I've got massive, massive, you know, doubts that, you know, we're not going to go over old ground. But there is a fear, Barry.
Yeah, there is, and we can only draw on previous experiences. And I know Michael Nicholson is new in that role, but he's been part of the board for many a year. Always trying to look for positives, though. A few comments I've seen online today were a bit reassuring, and saying the two candidates that were presented 2 years ago, both of them have shown in their respective jobs, Ange and Eddie Howe, that they are top class managers, I think it's fair to say. So if we were to give them benefit of the doubt, and we say that grudgingly, I think based on recent success of certainly approaching managers or doing their due diligence on managers, then that would be a bit of comfort. But you never know. And the point that you made a few minutes ago, Gal, is the fear of the unknown. I think because, as I said earlier, we were so settled, this squad. We've loved this brand of football. Some of the days out at Hampden this season have been incredible. It's just a fear that we're going to have to start again from scratch, essentially, I think.
I'm going to just move on to the next one, Chris, because it's kind of relevant to what we're talking about. Unless you get a point?
No.
John messaged and said, should Ange leave, do you think the board will go for, and he gives you two options, will he go for a big name appointment similar to what an intention Eddie Howe was, or a continuity candidate similar to the Lennon appointment post Rodgers? Enjoy the Scottish Cup final weekend. Thanks, John.
Oh, you'll have me by the end.
Very nice. What's your thoughts?
So what does he mean by a continuity candidate, basically an Ange replacement?
You know, sort of like an Ange-style manager.
Because Lennon wasn't a continuity candidate after Rodgers, I wouldn't say.
I think what he means is, like, when Rodgers obviously left, if you take Lennon being appointed straight after, I think he means, like, that period where it was, like, just come in and keep it going, if you know what I mean.
Safe pair of hands.
Safe pair of hands sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, this goes back to the what we just discussed. You would be a lot more relaxed, maybe not a lot more, but certainly more relaxed if you had faith in the structure and the board's recruitment, approach to the recruitment of the new manager, because you just don't know that. I mean, I've had people texting me talking about it and saying, do you think they bring Lennon back?
And I mean, they wouldn't. I mean, they couldn't.
But, you know, I think that as well. I also think that they couldn't bring Rodgers back. But the fact of the matter is that it's conceivable to a large number of people says a lot about how we've conducted managerial searches before. And there's not been enough evidence that that's not going to be the case this time, which adds... That's the thing about it. That's what adds a bit of anxiety for myself and for other folk. It's not so much that the manager's leaving. It's more what are we going to do next? Who are we going to get in next? Because if we went for another, you know, kind of... punt. That's what Ange was, and I imagine that's how the Spurs fans are looking at him. But a punt with a track record and playing a certain style of football in a certain style of way and being successful of it. If we went for that again, I think people this time would be far more on board than yo, look at his record and things like that. But we don't know what we're going to go for. And then if somebody kind of... Steve Clark's wanting to get back into...
Oh, fuck off. Oh, come
but,
on.
You know, now, I don't think Steve Clark would take it, but these names...
always come round.
But, and they always come round, right? But can you hand on heart say that there's no chance Celtic would be interested in Steve Clark?
I don't trust the board. I think the board have a history of making wild decisions. And if you just look at the Lennon appointment in the showers, all that stuff, you know, that's the last appointment they made before Ange.
The best possible scenario is if he goes, which I don't think he will now.
That will change again.
It'll change in 5 minutes. Eyes away, aren't they? And it would be a very good sign, as if we announced a manager very, 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 very quickly.
Well, that's kind of what I think. So, like, before we
which
get...
Which would mean that they knew it was happening, they've got a plan, and they're not just...
So, what I, you know, I think we've... Well, there's 1,000 WhatsApps happening, right? And there's 1,000 rumours and all that. Jesse Marsh has been mentioned too. I don't particularly like him. He's a very good manager, right? I saw Alex Neil was mentioned, which makes you roll your eyes.
He's at Stoke, isn't he?
Stoke, they finished like 15th. He's just not a very good manager, I don't think, right? But, you know, I'm with you, Chris. See if on, let's just say, for example, Ange does go to Spurs, right? Or Marseille now, apparently, interested in him as well. Let's say he did leave on Monday or Tuesday, and then Celtic literally either that same afternoon or the next day announced someone to the point where you can't even kind of stress about it.
Because
the longer it goes, the more stress. Do you think the... So, I mean, just to pick it back, and I'm sure this has gone through everyone's head, Barry, do you think the meeting with Dermot Desmond was about this?
I'm starting to think that way, yeah. And I know that people have said, if you look at the timeline, it was before Arne, but his name is Slot, had knocked Spurs back. But again, as you say, there's a lot of rumours that he was maybe just signalling out his intention that if an offer comes from a club...
I'm going to go and speak to
them. Yeah, will you allow me to... Here's my thoughts of what I would do, so... It's difficult because at the time we were all thinking, oh, he's been promised this 40 million...
War chest,
and he's going to revamp Lennox Town and all that. But I think because of you start to join the dots, don't you? Similar to what we did when Rodgers left, and I know this is a different situation, but you start to question everything. And just on Sir Manny's point there, that yes and no, I think if a quick appointment was made and you didn't have to think about it, then you could just focus on that. But it sort of counters what I was saying earlier about you're limiting yourself in that way when there could be really good candidates out there who you maybe wouldn't even consider.
I think it's going to be someone from the City Group. Yeah. I think it's going to be someone from the City Group, and I think they probably already know who it is.
I would agree with Barry there, unless we've known about it for longer than it's been in the press.
Since that meeting.
Yeah, which would mean that we've maybe, hopefully, done a bit of due diligence.
I mean, that's 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So, see if it's somebody for the City Group. Is it going to be Enzo Maresca?
I fucking hope not, because he was hopeless at Parma.
Aye, but...
He could be our De Zerbi.
I love Enzo Maresca. I don't really. I'm just trying to focus on the positives here. He's going into
you. Well, did you need to know? Do you know? Okay, so here is he's the next question from Nathan Detroit. Frank Sinatra film. Thanks, guys and dolls. For the weekly panel, He's going, just on what you said there, he's going to leave, isn't he? He's leaving us. How could he do this? I haven't felt this bad since Seville or since when Samaras left, which I think is Chris Bowd's two big
landmarks.
Major landmarks. Seriously though, I'm kind of ready for it now. Who's next? Think it could be time for Kennedy? Jesus, Nathan, what have you been smoking? He's not going to have a better chance to step into a well-functioning team. Usually managers arrive at a shit show. It's a good point. Yep. Whereas this would be a comfortable landing for John Kennedy. And if it's a quick appointment, I think people would accept it. I absolutely do not think people would accept it. Barry's ready to jump in.
See, just on that though, just the point they made about the conditions of the manager coming in, has there ever been a better condition for a manager to take over than there is now?
It's always usually, yeah, you're right. Well, I guess you could argue after we stopped at 10, Will Jansen.
Remember that?
I mean, you could
argue, yeah. Because if you think, obviously, O'Neill came into a shit show.
Yeah, O'Neill left a bit of a shit show.
Yeah, Strachan came into an aging squad with less
and he left
money
an aging squad.
Yeah, so if again we're looking for any positives that we can.
Oh, Barry's got a smile on his face, look, lovely.
I'm just going to discard that Kennedy bit because I'm not having that. But if we put that positive spin on it, it is an excellent.
It's a good
club
point.
On an excellent footing, and I think, that's something I hadn't considered. So,
you can draw parallels to somewhere like Brighton. Potter going to Chelsea didn't work out, in case you didn't know. Coming in there, they'd obviously had a good squad, they'd a lot of cracking players, they still do. I think, who was the fullback that went to Chelsea?
Cucurella.
You know, they lost one of their bigger players and Potter goes and all that sort of stuff, but De Zerbi came in and has just taken up what was left and just ran with it.
Yeah.
That's what you would want.
Yeah.
Now, see, a guy like De Zerbi, this is my pitch for Enzo Maniscalco here, by the way. De Zerbi was kind of damaged goods before he went, well he was at Shakhtar, he was absolutely terrible at. And he's came in and he's done excellently so far, so don't rule out Enzo Maresca. Actually, I don't want Enzo Maresca. Don't know why I'm doing this.
This is a weird gimmick you've picked up.
What I'm saying is,
you want an Italian manager?
I want an Italian manager, aye. Trapattoni.
Lee's got a couple of points to this question. I think we covered some, but the last one's pretty good. If Ange leaves, how concerned are you about the fact that much-needed structural change has not been made during Ange's tenure due to his success? For me, we're not necessarily back to square one, but our structure still seems miles off modern European sides. Mm. Likewise, is there a concern that certain players might be solely suited to Ange's system and struggle under a new manager? The squad are likely dying domestically, or fine domestically, but perhaps not for Europe under a new coach. I mean, it's a good point. I mean, I kind of think, as Alan Edgar always says, you know, it doesn't seem like there's anything that can't be rolled back, but it doesn't really necessarily seem, well, maybe there has been structural changes, maybe this is the time, maybe on Monday they'll turn around and say Mark Lowell's a new football director of football and we have a new coach come in. You know, maybe they've been waiting for this in a way, and it's just time has come that these structures can be put in place now because Ange didn't want them.
Yeah, and if I keep talking about the conditions, but it's easier to implement changes like that when you are at the top. Because we were all advocating for it when we were at rock bottom two summers ago.
That's it.
So
the transition's easier.
Yeah. The success that Ange has had, it seems in almost some cases that it's been a one-man overhaul to try and drag the club into this century. It might be that the announcement could be that Mark Lowell is going to lead up the search for the manager or whatever like that. And I think most people would be quite happy with something like that.
I think on Mark Lowell, obviously, his dad's Peter Lowell, in case. Now,
Peter's boy.
He's obviously he's been involved in the City Group, right? And there's part of me that sticks in my craw that Man City and where they were, right? But let's put that to one side. They're an incredibly well-run football club with a wider network that's involved in that, right? So put to one side where you feel about Manchester City. He was involved in that. He gained a lot of experience in that.
Knowledge.
We tapped into that with some of the players we signed and all that sort of stuff. A lot of this in my head, I mean, we've done podcasts and you could do more podcasts on director of football and all that structure. The professionalism, a lot of it hinges on, in my head, is he going to bring some of that to the club? or is he Peter's boy and he does what Peter and Desmond, Dermot Desmond say? That might sound quite simplistic, but if we've got that link and we're kind of trying to bring some of that to the club, that's a positive, right? If it's not going to be taken on board, then we're doing the same old pals act that we did with Lennon and we did with Strachan and we've done with other managers, then what's the point? And again, it goes back to that thing about structural changes and things that have happened at the club. There's been changes, there's been appointments, but we just don't know how that's going to transpire.
That's the point. I think if Mark Lawwell is his own man and he is kind of pitching all this stuff and it gets kind of greenlit because he's the guy that said, look, I want to do this. And no, maybe he said when he was coming in, I want to get out my dad's shadow and I want to come in and I want to change everything. If that's the truth, then, you know, the future is positive. If, as Samani says, he's just been brought in because it's like, I'm a Celtic supporter, I can get maybe a promotion to a higher level than I am in the City group and, you know, I'll just do what I'm told. And we're in a lot worse trouble than I thought, because I really hope it isn't like that.
He's staying, but it's fine.
He's back on his staying.
Don't know what he's are worried about.
Aye. A couple more questions. This is from Dicko.
Dicko.
With the impending doom lingering over Ange leaving us, how confident are you of securing another top level manager? I personally want Graham Potter. Before he got the Brighton gig, and his stint at Chelsea hasn't changed my thoughts regarding him being a top level manager. Are you worried about Brendan coming home? I personally think he is that much of a sycophant that he would jump at the opportunity. This is funny. There's no doubt in his credentials, even though he is a rat bastard. The only positive is that Danny McGrain would have a job. As long as you're here, Danny, I'm here. Rodgers has been mentioned. I'm just going to give you my point of view. I couldn't stop. I don't know what I'd do, because I'm not going to not support Celtic. Obviously, I still, because as we've talked about, you know, I still think how he left and the way he left and the fact he doesn't think he's done anything wrong, and I think he's got an ego on him enough to think he'll come back and he'll sort out, the fans won't really bother, you know, it won't be that much of a problem. Do you know what? A lot of people would kind of fall into line, I think, in regards to that. I think a lot of people would think, well, it's water under the bridge. I just don't think I could. But the point about Potter's good, Barry.
Yeah, definitely, and that's one of the more favourable names that I've heard today.
It seems pretty unrealistic, although he does have Gorty Gillian quid because of his payoff. Yeah. From,
and it could be to refer to similar to what Rodgers did, and obviously Ange. Now, it's a good place to sort of rebuild your reputation. I know that's hard for us to stomach because it's a club that we love, but I think it could be an attractive opportunity for him. It was a name that was mentioned a couple of years ago that he'd be the ideal guy that we could get, but he was almost out of our reach at that point. So
as soon as they hit England, you're gubbed.
Yeah, so he's got a good track record. He's kind of built his way up through different. He was out in Sweden and stuff like that, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But you're just thinking after the back of Chelsea, it might be out of our reach. But I think you've got to ask the question. He plays the type of football similar. Some of my brand of football to Ange, certainly progressive anyway. So I wouldn't be adverse to that at all.
That's a good point. I think we all probably agree with that. What about the Rodgers, Chris? The Rodgers, the name has been floated about. People are, you know, reacting to it in different ways, which is, you know, everyone's, you know, as is their want. What's your kind of thoughts on even the idea of Brendan Rodgers coming back as Celtic manager?
I've seen some people saying they would welcome him back. I've seen other people saying that he burnt his bridges. He didn't burn these bridges. He dismantled it and took it to Leicester, like he did with everybody on the backroom staff. There would be people that would accept it. There would be more who wouldn't. And I think the board would be
never
aware of that.
Never a sell, always a fraud. I don't know how the Green Brigade would react and all that. You know,
well, see, Lennon and Rodgers, people are naturally mentioning Lennon, obviously being there before, and Rodgers, obviously, the way that he left, and both of them are out of work at the moment. They're two can't... Now, okay, the season ticket deadline finished yesterday.
Of course.
However, I even our board, I don't think, would be mad enough to appoint either of them. Rodgers,
Lennon, no chance. There's no chance it would be Lennon.
Rodgers, though, there would be a section of the support who would welcome him back, but I think more than those that would welcome him back would be dead against it. I would be in that camp.
I've been in that camp myself as well.
It's easy to remember, it's easy to forget. But see, after the first season, it's a lot of diminishing returns with Brendan Rodgers. The football in that second season was not very good at all. And we've seen historically at every football club he's been at that he starts strong and regresses. So,
and in regards to his transfer, you know, history, and also managers coming back at Celtic doesn't really seem to work, with the exception of Billy McNeil
for a season.
Yeah.
Sorry, Barry, I know you wanted to come in, but just in terms of getting this off my chest, I've completely lost my train of
Rodgers coming back.
Barry, you can come in. I forgot my point.
And I was just going to say, it's sort of, it's almost like you've been going through the process of a breakup.
With slight somatic in first.
No. You keep going. It's fine.
With someone who's maybe slightly wronged you, and you're thinking, you're harking back to someone who ripped you apart. So it's going from, because the pain is so real just now, you think, oh, maybe it wasn't that bad when Rodgers was here. But I'm telling you now, it was 10 times worse. Like, it was almost being like punched in the stomach, I think, when you saw him walking around the track at
Leicester.
So
I'll never forgive him. I will never forgive him. And, you know,
yeah.
Chris, come in. Sorry.
Just to go back. The other thing about bringing Rodgers back is, we remember Rodgers was demanding money to be spent in signings, and we were all on board at the time. This board needs to show ambition. This board needs to do this. Why aren't we paying £9 million for Castagne? And why are we not paying, was it Puccini, was it?
Yeah, Sporting Lisbon, right back.
You know, various other things. We did shell out money for Edouard when he was here, but you're in the situation where we signed Marion Schved and he was like so dismissive of the guy. Maybe he was right, but he was dismissive of him. But at that time, before what happened, we were like that to the board. You need to show ambition to give this guy what he wants. Angie's come in and he's delivered a level, similar level of domestic success with more entertaining football, I would say, at a fraction of the cost. Now, part of that's because he understood
the markets
were and the remits and all that sort of stuff. And I think our mindset previously was, you need to spend the big bucks. You need to spend the big bucks if you're wanting to do that. But you don't. But if Rodgers did come back,
you would demand.
That's what he would demand.
Yeah.
And then you would start to be thinking about again, well, why? We should be doing this. We should be doing this. Whereas I think that the mindset and the thought process around the club's a wee bit more progressive in terms of looking to different directions to sign football players rather than paying big bucks to, I don't know, English Championship players or whatever.
Jambo Roy, final question. Given the significant ramp up on Twitter rumours, articles and In the Know posts on most message boards, how much do you think the Ange talk will impact Saturday? And if the worst were to happen, any other contenders' names you'd like to discuss? It's a great question, Jambo Roy. I think we'll probably touch on that a little bit more next week in regards to contenders, because he's still the Celtic manager. And
he's not gone anywhere.
He's not gone anywhere. So what are you talking about? But in regard to
this could be a beautiful time capsule, this podcast.
Four year deal. Can I just say again, I hope we're kind of proved wrong, but we can only go by what the listeners want to talk about, and we've had 2 pages worth of questions from them, and it kind of is what everyone's thinking. Just final, there was a press conference today, and this is what Ange had to say when asked about the situation.
Somebody else was favourite last week, wasn't it? Doesn't register. I mean, you know, I get all the interest in why people, love to sort of speculate on these things. And but we've worked really, really hard to get ourselves into this position. And you know, for me to let my mind wander about anything else other than getting our team prepared for a big day on Saturday is just not who I am.
We spoke to Matt O'Reilly, Alistair Johnson. They were talking about, you know, blocking out noise. Alistair Johnson acknowledges, though, that players can't avoid the TV and see the stories quite often. Do you have to do anything in particular to block out that stuff and make sure focus does remain on the cup final?
You're making it sound as if this is the first time it's happened to me. We've done this dance a few times this year, so I think the players are well aware of where my thoughts lie. So, whatever it is, the players, like I said before, have been really good at just focusing on what's important. What's important is being ready for a big game on Saturday.
Punchy there. I can understand why, because obviously you just keep... That's the thing, there's no subtlety in how these questions are asked. It's very much, you going, aye? Where you going? What's happening?
Do you know, I've never really liked his approach to dealing with the press. Just try to earn a couple of bucks, and he was quite snarky. But if he's staying, love it.
Direct. Yes.
Puts them in their place, you know.
We're not going to speak too much on it for too much longer, but... Does it take, we're being realistic here, we're being honest, we're not going to try and pussyfoot around it, but does it take, if everything goes to plan on Saturday, Barry, does it take a little bit of the shine off? Even if it's just not knowing?
Yes and no. I think back to, I remember we did a podcast, I'm sure it was the night before, the cup final for the quadruple treble.
Yes.
And we were in disarray under Lennon. And I remember talking about the point of we owe this to ourselves to celebrate this in isolation because of what it means to us. You never know what's down the line. It could be people's last cup finals. I know that's a bit morbid, but you have to celebrate the success of our football club. I keep going back to that point that we are the people who remain.
Yes.
And so long
after we're the jerseys. We're the jerseys.
We're the jerseys. So I think we really have to enjoy what would be a momentous occasion, something that's never been done before in world football, and then try to put the whole manager situation out your head, enjoy your Saturday night, nurse your hangover with double whammy on Sunday because it could happen. But in terms of taking the shine off, potentially yes, but Celtic winning trophies is what we're all about. If you look back in the history books in 30, 40 years' time, it'll be about winning this treble, God willing, rather than the manager left the next day. Look at stopping the 10. Bim Janssen was gone within 48 hours, and we talk about how that was one of the best days of our life. So Celtic goes on, and God bless them.
Chris, do you have any kind of final points on that?
I agree. I totally agree with Barry. It is what it is. The narrative of what's happened and is going to affect the cup final, obviously, but it won't affect the legacy of the cup final if we win it.
Love it.
And that's really what the most important thing is long term. So, yeah, we need to just go. We need to enjoy that day. I mean, obviously, after the treble, we had the situation with Neil Lennon being announced and things like that, and how that put things on a dampener and things. You still now talk about the fact that we did four trebles in a row as part of that. So it's a footnote as opposed to what you actually think about.
What a football club, by the way. What a football club. And as I say, you know, we have to talk about this because it's what is on everyone's mind. There's a preview happening for the cup final in a little bit more detail tactically and overall. I'll put that out on the free feed tomorrow so everyone can get a kind of taste of that as well, because I know we've talked a lot about Ange in that situation currently. We've still got plenty of time, so don't worry about it. The cup final itself, are you looking forward to it, Chris? The three of us have got tickets. We were lucky enough to, I think everyone got a fucking ticket on the home cup ticket scheme, but how are you feeling about this monumentous occasion?
I'm looking forward to it. I mean, despite the speculation, you know, the closer you get to it, the closer you're... Scottish Cup final, Dave said this before.
It's the best, man.
It is the best. And the weather's been absolutely sensational this week. Maybe not now, it's a bit grey. But the forecast is... It'd be a cracking sunny day, and that just brings back other Scottish Cup final days in your mind. The centenary season, I know we were young at the time, but you can envisage it in your head.
2001, I think, was really, really sunny as well.
Yep, and that was obviously winning the treble. So there's something about the Scottish Cup. It's almost like I feel as if it's our trophy, and that, you know, the end of the season, the kind of finish up of the season is something that we just do. We're due. So if you wake up on Saturday morning, the sun's splitting the skies, it's going to be absolutely fantastic. So I'm absolutely 100% looking forward to it. And even just talking about it you've switched away from all the other speculation.
Absolutely.
And that'll be the case on Saturday morning. You're just going to be looking forward to the occasion and being at Hampden, much maligned stadium, but for me, it holds so many memories. Sunny Scottish Cup final day. Here we go. Ange who?
He's the manager.
Ugly because he's staying.
He's the manager. Barry, your thoughts?
Yeah, just listening to Samani there got me fired up. And I think, weirdly, I think, excuse me, when you're in amongst the support as you will be on Saturday, it almost feels like you can take on anything because you're that collective. And the focus will purely be on that day. As I say, great memories thinking back 2004 as well, another sunny day, Larson's last competitive game for us. God, why did I bring him up?
come back!
But
I imagine he did. Don't come back!
It's a great way to end the season.
Folk would take that. Sorry, Barry.
Yeah. Great way to end the season and hopefully put on a show and we'll take it from there.
excuse me, the thing about this, the road to the cup final, I just thought I'd kind of go over the games because a lot of us have probably forgot. We defeated Morton 5-0 in the fourth round. The last 16, we defeated St Mirren in a 5-1, which was a tough tie, but we performed really well.
Yeah.
We defeated Hearts in the quarter final 3-0, which was one of the tougher ones. The goal scorers were for Celtic Cameron Carter Vickers, Kyogo Furuhashi, and Aaron Moy, your favourite, Christopher. Because Kobayashi came on as well. Starfelt went off.
Not your favourite.
Not your favourite. And then obviously, I think everyone remembers the semi-final against Rangers, the 1-0, which obviously was scored by Jota. And what was... That was kind of a tense semi-final, but really enjoyable because of the result, and it was just great. Chris... Looking at the team, the Celtic team, we got a question actually, because it was mentioned. In fact, you know, let me just go to, there was some quotes from Ange about Kyogo from today, talking about Kyogo Furuhashi. Ange said he's still pretty bullish about playing because he didn't train today. Kyogo Furuhashi, who has 33 goals this season, limped off in last week's 5-0 win over Aberdeen, and Postecoglou revealed that the Japanese striker has not trained this week. However, the Celtic boss confirmed the plan is for Kyogo to train on Friday before making a call on his fitness. He's still pretty bullish about playing, so we'll see how it goes. We'll be guided by him. He's very strong mentally, so if he gives us the green light, we'll put him in there. Question from Joe. He says, Kyogo wasn't in the pictures at training today. How confident are the panel in O? So... Chris coming up, filling in for Kyogo Furuhashi. What's your thoughts on Kyogo? What's your thoughts on O?
Thoughts on Kyogo is he's fantastic. If he's not trained though this week,
it's a big
I think saying he's quite bullish on playing suggests that he's not going to be fit, even though he's not giving up hope. I think also he's been called up for the Japanese squad, is he not?
Mm-hmm.
So he'll probably have that in his mind because we've seen that wee documentary and seen how much that means to him. So
it's class, aye.
The idea, we're obviously going to go as a Celtic support, go, play, right? But if he's then, that puts that in doubt, that might factor into that. Oh, you know, obviously during that spell where we didn't win very many games, we weren't, I don't think we were particularly, you know, positive about that.
We weren't
bowled over about us, and I don't think we were particularly, you know, after beating Aberdeen, you look back and you go, that was a lot of nonsense. We're very kind of fickle as a support. But I still think he's a very raw player. I would have concerns about going in to a Champions League campaign with him
as
the number two or as the number one. However, he scored two in his last game. He's hit the post against St Mirren, he hit the post against Rangers, and we're playing a first division team. He has shown enough for me to think that that's a game he should be more than able to perform in. So if that cup final was against sterner opposition, then you would be a bit more worried. No disrespect to Inverness. I love saying that because it probably does sound very disrespectful. But what I mean is, he's shown against higher calibre teams. Aberdeen at the weekend, for instance, even though the game didn't mean too much, he's capable of scoring. So you know, going by that kind of train of thought, he should be more than capable of scoring if we give him service on Saturday. So as much as I'd love Kyogo to play, if it's not going to happen, I think O's got the tools to play in a game even of this stature against Inverness.
Barry, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think after I actually thought the Hibs game, he showed some glimpses as well. He's maybe one of the only positives last week. And then hot off the press on Saturday, I thought he ended the game really well. 2 goals, some nice touches as well. So I would have no real concerns with him starting. Just when you were talking there about the dip in form before the Aberdeen
remember
game.
Remember that?
That was round about that time Desmond was at Celtic Park. I wonder why the players weren't on it. But no, I joke. I quite like the look of Bo, and it could be the making of him. Like a big game, big performance for him. Hopefully score a couple in a final. We could really hit the ground running next season.
Yeah. Hey, I unfortunately left Chris Bow to get my tickets for me, so me, Bowd and Andy McCaffrey are sitting in the Rangers end. Obviously pretty much the whole stadium's gonna be. Where are you sitting?
I think I'm F2, so Celtic end.
Are you sitting?
I can't even remember.
But you were going to say something else. I thought you were going to be, I think it might be, but you're like, no, I can't remember. So I don't know. All right, Chris, calm down, Jesus.
I'll text you later.
I'll text Chris all the listeners. In regard to, obviously...
I'm in the stadium, Chris.
Set off.
Dugout. Is your Italian manager?
In regard to the actual kind of... here's who Inverness defeated to get to the Scottish Cup. In the third round, they defeated Stirling Albion 3-2.
Tight.
Oof, close. But then they smashed Queen's Park 3-0 in the fourth round.
Owen Coyle's looking for a job, isn't he?
That's right. No, Queen's Park beat them, but Queen's Park had put in an eligible player. That's why it's a 3-0 win.
Are you joking me?
I'm pretty sure that's right, isn't it?
No, that's
it?
True, yeah.
Yeah. So that they
are. Their name's on the trophy.
Oh, fuck off, Barry.
Default FC.
Default.
Like Denmark in 92.
Let football win.
Exactly. Oh, Jesus. Yeah, that's right. I totally forgot about that. But then they defeated Livingston 3-0 in the last 16, which.
It's a result.
It's a big result. Away from home as well. Defeated Kilmarnock, and then they took on Falkirk in the semi and beat them as well. You know, we'll do a kind of... Christian Wolf has been looking at Inverness, and he's going to give a kind of tactical breakdown of how they're going to play and what we can expect. So that'll be on your feed tomorrow. So everyone have a listen out for that. Barry, where are the big question marks for Celtic in regard to personnel? Is there any? Is there a team that everyone that you've got in mind that you think links up with everyone? And if so, what positions do you think are questionable?
Obviously, without CCV, we've kind of...
Starfelt's
nailed on.
It's your lock of the week.
Yeah. And I think based on, I suppose, over the last three or four games, I think Iwata would be in beside him. I know he'd played there in Japan. He maybe didn't look so clever against St Mirren, but I thought he looked really assured against Aberdeen. So, and I also think the fact that you'd imagine me to have the lion's share of possession, he could almost become like another midfielder in there as well, just to give us more bodies. So that's the only one questionable. I think Johnson, because he did the presser today, he should be in there.
Johnson, Hart, Johnson, Taylor, Starfelt, and who's the one?
Iwata.
Chris, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would say so. You know, we're thinking back to... When was after the semi-final that Kenny Ange said send Carter Vickers away?
Because he'd done his...
Which I think, in retrospect, we can look at what the manager thought of the then games coming up. If he was in a... Because he could have limped on to the end of the season, right? But the manager's obviously looked at that and said, right, it's fine, it's time that you can then go. And that was a period of time that, at that point, we were thinking this is almost a kind of showcase for Kobayashi. That's not worked out in the slightest.
Absolutely not.
And you can point to Iwata in the St Mirren game and not be particularly impressed by him. However, out of both of them, he's definitely the guy who I would be more comfortable playing. So, yeah, I would go with him.
Who would you have as your middle three? Would it be the tried and tested?
Well, it's Hitati, McGregor and O'Reilly. I mean, Moy's obviously been out, and Moy had a spell, you know, the Rangers game at Celtic Park when he came back from fitness, to, you know, he came back from injury, sorry, and he looked really sluggish and he looked really poor. I think he was unfortunate because I remember when he came on in the semi-final, he was pressing late on, he was doing a lot of work.
Him and Haxa.
And I think there's a lot of folk who aren't fans of Moy, and at points it was almost like, aha, that's what he's really like. I don't think that is. I think Moy's a very, very good footballer.
Very cultured.
Yes, and very good at retaining the ball. If we had that version of Moy that we had 3 months ago, you're probably deciding whether or not it's between Moy and O'Reilly, but for me it's got to be O'Reilly just now.
Totally agree. And just on the Moy point, I think you could argue that we played our best football of the season in that period where he was
cooking.
Yeah, yeah. Think back to that Hearts game where he was brilliant. Think back to the final, the League Cup final, where he was involved in both goals as well. So it's a pity the way it's ended, because I think that's maybe clouded some people's judgment to forget how good he was in that period, because he was exceptional, a lot of goals, a lot of assists. But O'Reilly's quite rightly grabbed that position back. And I think Alan made the point, he said we could look forward in a month to 6 weeks and the roles have reversed, where it was Moy, now it's O'Reilly. So I think those three picked themselves. I don't think there's anyone really in contention to break those three up.
No.
Barry, we'll come to you for the front three. Kyogo being a big kind of.
So if Kyogo's not there, it'd be Jota. And I think it probably, based not on the whole season, I think Maeda probably in there, although I was very enthused by Abada on Saturday, finally taking men on and beating them. He skinned half the Aberdeen defence at one point. But I think Maeda, based on what he's done for the whole season, and he tends to be in Angie's strongest team when he is, so I think that would be the three.
Just on Abada at the weekend, I was the same. He was doing things that I've said for a long time he needs to start doing to kick on to the next level. It's only one game, obviously, but I was really impressed, especially to, I mean, I've kind of joked, it's not even joked, for a long time Abada would, you know, kind of try and stand a man up and run into him. He didn't do that at the weekend, and I thought, well, that's really positive. The thing about Abada is the consistency. See, if you get that Abada, I would start him and play Jota on the left, but you probably won't. So I would go with Jota on the right, assuming Kyogo's injured, and Maeda as well. I mean, the work rate that Maeda gives you, the manager loves, so he would play them. And nobody around the fringes has done enough to come in, like Haksabanovic. You know, Chris, we nailed our kind of colours to the mast when it came to Haksabanovic, and he's not yet repaid us for our unwavering support.
It's coming.
Maybe when we get a better manager in here, we'll get a tune out of him.
He'll be number 10.
But no, I think that's pretty kind of the team that I think most people, obviously the old Kyogo thing will be decided probably, you know, on Saturday or Sunday, you know, and that's, I think everyone would probably look at Iwata and say, aye, probably Iwata. And then I think Maeda and Jota are kind of nailed on to start, so it really is or Kyogo.
Yeah.
You're looking forward to it, Chris. You mentioned that before. It's Inverness, Billy Dodds, Billy Mackay, all the Billies. Red, white and blue. Get them pumped.
I didn't need the extra motivation you gave me there, Chris, but I'll take it. Yeah, we know what's at stake. Another treble. And a sunny, fantastic Scottish Cup final day sends you into the summer delighted, irregardless of what other speculation's going on. It's all there to play for. And even just talking about it now, I can't wait.
I'm very excited.
You're waking up on Saturday morning, and
what time will you be in the boozle?
I don't know.
You got Joe?
I don't know where I'm sitting in the stadium, and I don't know what time I'll be in the boozer, Christopher. But I'll be there.
Barry, yourself?
Yeah, I think much the same. It's not about one man or one individual. It's about Celtic's name being on that trophy. I don't even know, I was going to say quarter to five, but the game wouldn't have started by then. so, 7:30.
Just think of the trophy before the game.
But, yeah, I know you've spoken about this recently, Gout, that there's something special about Celtic just now, and I don't mean the manager, the style of play. I think, see the celebrations that we've seen outside Celtic Park when we clinched the title, the Gallagate last week. It's really unique, and I think that's something that managers, players will come and go, but they'll never experience an environment quite like this. And I don't think that's been outlandish to say. There's something special. It's like a subculture almost, politically. The banners, the pyro, some people don't like it, as has been said this week in the press, but it feels like you're part of something bigger, and I just hope that's the case on Saturday night.
God bless to Chris Armani. God bless to Barry Gallagher. God bless to you, the listener, and God bless Glasgow Celtic. This is The Cynic, and I'll speak to you down the road.